This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Listening to another episode of Be Told on Tune, C-H-O-O-N, apparently. Let's have a look here on the calendar. It is the June the 13th, 2026, and I'm Ken, the cleaner from the Joel's Studios, up in the Blue Mountains areas. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you very much, Ken. We've kept you on only because of I can see that you've obviously, you know, you need work. You need a lot of work, actually, Ken. I'm trying to find my microphone. Where is the microphone? Is it down my underpants? It was basically in an area down my chest. Be Told. This is Rick on a Be Told 68. Episode number 68 of Be Told. Unbelievable that Joel turned up exactly the right time. Just when I needed to have a free-form chat without any interruptions, unless, you know, it's a friend that comes on that's, you know, not going to say something stupid and ridiculous. On a beautiful Saturday night, and not Sydney. I left there this morning at 5:30 a.m. And I'd got a message in my head yesterday. I need to ring Rollo, because he has not answered any single call or text message from me. And I had this word come into my head: ring him up. And he messaged me back and he said, thanks, mate, very crook still. And I said, listen, this is fucking ridiculous. You know, you've been 6, 7, 8 weeks and you haven't got any better. I'm coming up there and I'm fucking taking you to hospital. That's what I said, basically. And then I contacted, just by coincidence, if everyone knows what WhatsApp is, WhatsApp. I got into it years ago when I was seeing this a girl from Paris, where we could chat away and contact each other and, you know, chat for free, basically. And when you go on, it actually finds your other contacts that are on it. And Christy's name popped up, and she's in Italy having a fantastic holiday. Anyway, I bothered to call her because I thought, listen, this is ridiculous. And she said, you should go around and see him. Can you go around and see him? Just make him do something. And I said, okay, well, I've got time to do that. And the song, Two Little Boys Had Two Little Toys, came into my head. One of Rolf Harris's greatest songs. And no, he was not into young little boys. That's just, you know, absolute a crock of old codswallop. He was a dirty old man, as I've said it before. Like most celebrities, are all a bit weird, a little bit weird. And anyway, I said to him, I'm coming there. I'm going to, you know, but anyway, I said I'm going to be there at 7:30 a.m., which it was, literally. And when I turned up, he was luckily, he was roaming around, probably feeding Rosie. So he was standing up and he's still functioning. And he was not happy to see me. He thought that I was going to lecture him, but I said, no, I'm coming. So anyway, me and him went for a drive, picked up some groceries for him. I went in there. He sat in the van. I won't say he's okay, but it was a good, and I cheered him up and we had a great little conversation. And, I won't go into any more details, but I don't think he'll be back on here for a while. Let's just say that one. But it was good to see him, and I think he was happier for me being there, which I should have done a long time ago. But you have to leave if people want to be in their own, you know, especially when you're sick. I'll tell you the one thing. When I've felt sick over the years, I've never been on – you've never heard me really properly sick on a fakeologist type, you know, or even a B12. Or do I? Or have I? I'm not sure. But if I'm actually really sick, you just don't feel like that subject of or being lectured or being talked down to or whatever. And he doesn't – Rollo still – I'll tell you one thing. Though he can hardly walk, his voice is still as powerful, and his attitude towards hospitals and doctors has not diminished in one poof-dinth of a fraction. He is absolutely not going to a hospital, and he's absolutely not, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he's said if Christy comes back and manages to talk him into it, he'll do it. So he's not listening to me. Anyway, it was good to see him. He's still alive. His voice is not diminished. And he made a couple of jokes. His sense of humor is still intact. So it's fantastic to do that. And I will be making a point of going in there a bit more often because he accepts me into his life. I don't think he wants many other people, but he was really he said, thank you for coming around, which is really good to know that, you know, you can still affect people in whatever way you want to affect somebody. So, he's still alive. I'll just say that. That's the best. Roller report, he's alive. But he's not looking particularly well. But he's still alive. So there you go. Blah, 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 blah. What else are we talking about? Now, the World Cup started, which we were talking about with Martha last Sunday. It bloody nil. It bloody nil. Have you ever seen Golden Gordon rip one of the Ripping Yarns spin-offs from Monty Python? Golden Gordon, highly recommend that series of comedies done by Michael Palin and Terry Jones. In 1978, 79, or 77 even, not sure. Really funny. And it was a parody of a really very typical English soccer fan and his team that continuously lost, and he used to come home and you'd hear him coming down the street, it bloody nil, it bloody nil. And he'd walk in the house and start throwing he threw the grandfather clock out the window and smashed up all the house. Because people are obsessed with sport, and no bigger one than soccer or football. It is, apparently though, basketball is possibly bigger. I might have to ask an expert witness here. And this is what I want to talk about, actually, because my son and I. Is basketball bigger than soccer? No. Okay. No. So it's
in Australia.
It is in Australia. Okay. Well, we were watching on a big screen TV the playoffs between the Knicks and the Spurs. And I was watching this huge TV. And I was looking at the, you know, suddenly, you know, a concept came to me that basketball hoop is actually like, you know, 8 foot something or other off the ground or 9 foot. Hello. How many feet is it?
Like 9 or 10.
9 or 10 feet. There you go. Expert advisor in this, Saturday Night Rick and Roller. No, be told. For replacing the Rick and Roller shows for the foreseeable future. Anyway, there's a guy that I was looking at his head and I was going, and I suddenly said, is that guy as tall as I think he is? 7'7".
No, 7'4".
7'4". Okay. Wrong. Silly father. He's 21 year old, 7'4". And I said, he should be an alien. And what blow me down? He explained to me that he actually is playing an alien in the movie Backrooms, which I want to talk about a bit on this show.
No.
Oh, hang on, sorry.
No, that's a whole different...
Isn't he there?
No.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
The guy who you said should be an alien...
He's not in Backrooms.
No.
Oh.
There's a 7'8" dude.
A 7'8" guy that's playing an alien. Okay, right, so it's not the same one I thought.
Alien. That's his actual branding for his shoes.
Okay, his shoes are branded Alien. Now, this guy has got a, like, his head's normal, nice looking head, but his body is like an alien grey.
You're listening to Beatle 68.
No matter what you're in, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Beatle Alive 68. And you've got. If you would have heard him, it was Heinrich or whatever of the, yeah, Heinrich, I call him. The 21-year-old expert on sport. I have never seen, I don't know where he got that gene from, but also in music, which he got, I know where he got that one from. And so this movie, Backrooms, is very interesting. I just listened to a breakdown from Pseudonym. Isaac Weishaupt, that's his pseudonym. He's actually really good. He's a very likable guy. I wouldn't trust everything he said because he's a bit apologetic and a bit young and a bit. He was in the military, but you know he was in the Air Force. Like when someone says they're in the Air Force, I don't consider that actually like a soldier type. You know that maybe you can protect an airport area, but. They're not the people that always go, wow, you know, he was special forces or whatever. No. Anyway, he is very good at doing breakdowns on popular culture, and that's his show, Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, or it was, until he got sued, some one of these big stars when he was going on about being a whatever, when that sued him. So he shuts his mouth up about some people, and he's very careful about how he says things. As we all could be, rightly so, in the future. Guaranteed. But this Backrooms movie and this limbic, is it limbic? I might have to look it up in a minute. But something that stood out to me, because he introduces a show on Backrooms about this thing called, I'm going to go on to the show note, the conspiracy page on, here we go, Rick and Rollo site, beep, 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 beep. Is it conspiracy theories? Frank's replied to something I sent him today. Have you seen The Daughters of Prince Andrew? Oh, my God. There's this EGI thing. I don't think it's even EGI. These are two blokes with wigs or funny hats on. They do not look like women whatsoever. Whatsoever. Now, where are we? Limbic. Mother Mary. We talked about that last week. No Whack. That's the backwards of the name of that Sikh stabbing. I said No Whack. Definitely something suspicious about that. Recommended podcast. Here we go. All right. It's called Liminal Spaces. It's kind of, there's a word for it, because I always said when you go into different areas, and you'll hear me talking about this on many Beatles, you go to a house or you go to a place and there's a strange kind of vibe about it. And he was kind of describing it as you go to a school at nighttime where it's, you know, really hectic during the day. There's this weird vibe at nighttime. You kind of leave some of your energy behind, you know, or that amount of energy from all that. 18-year-olds or what and under screaming at each other, running around, talking. And at night time, there's a strange vibe there. And I've talked about all these empty buildings I've been to, never picked up on anything yet. Some places I've been to, particularly in New Zealand, where I'm going to next this Saturday. So I won't be doing a Beatle possibly for a while, on the weekend anyway, next weekend. I'm going to be going back to my old hometown for the first time in 13 years. Which will be interesting. And very interesting, actually. But I'll check out these weird vibes I was getting in certain areas, which this is this liminal spaces thing. So I'd never heard the term liminal spaces. But Backrooms is, so all my kids, all three of them, they all knew all about Backrooms, because it's something to do with a computer game that was around back in the day. The director of this film, and apparently it's fantastic, Backrooms, he's only 20 years of age, like about the same age as my son. And he started on YouTube. I'll actually ask him. So Backrooms was a computer game?
No.
No.
Oh, well, it was, but it was originally like a YouTube video made by the person who directed
the movie. And he's only 20 years of age, yeah. Like your age.
So he made when he was like...
Far out. And he's making, this movie is apparently fantastic. It's a horror movie. And will I bother watching it? I don't think so. But I like listening to reviews by that Isaac Weishaupt. He's fantastic. He is fantastic. Not all the time, but I really do enjoy. Am I going green? Yes, I am. Listening to breakdowns of movies that I don't want to go and see. It's like, I'm not going to go and watch, what was the movie we were talking about last week? The Human Centipede, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, whatever. The concepts, you only need to, I'm not going to talk about it here, but you only need to see the kind of deviance that they're pushing out. But I do believe at the much higher level, it is computer games where they're really focusing a lot of intent and cleverness. I actually should have sent this to Dave J, because he'd be able to explain the whole Backrooms concept to me possibly more than I can. But really interesting, really interesting. And I haven't actually studied into it. I took notes in my head, but I didn't actually go and sit there and go into this liminal spaces, because there is definitely a there in certain areas, certain rooms, certain businesses, certain whatever you go into and you go, that's creepy. There's a kind of a vibe about it. I think you can leave your energy and imprint somewhere. And that feeds in with one of my favorite shows from 1975, 6, Sapphire and Steel, with David McCallum and Joanna Lumley when she was really hot. Beautiful, Joanna Lumley. She's not a bloke. She's not a bloke. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Making that noise. It is fantastic, and it has episodes, because these two come from another dimension and they go to places and examine haunted areas and stuff like that. It's like a Doctor Who kind of type show. It was on in the 70s, and that's why I keep saying us Generation X or whatever, the kids of the, say the Keanu Reeve age, myself, age onwards, are absolutely got bombasted with dimensions and vortexes, etc. I've talked about, you hear me talking about this on BTOL all the time. But I didn't know this. There was a word for it, it's liminal spaces. So they've removed the word sub, so it's not beneath, it's actually liminal. You can feel it, as opposed to subliminal, I guess. Is that what it's? I have no idea. I've never looked into the word. But I'm absolutely fascinating and totally BTOL material, because occasionally at night time you can be in a building, or you can pick up on it. And some people have definitely got better reception for picking up on these energies, and that's, they call themselves psychics, I guess. I've spoken about this before. When I first got exposed, again, all by my mother. Everything that I got about these subjects came from her. Not a single thing from my father. But thank God I got his genetics, physical. I'm totally thankful for that. But she told me about her friend at work who visited. There was a psychic back in my own hometown who would not accept money. Apparently, this is the thing. Back in the day with psychics. If they're taking money, they lose their powers. There's a there apparently with the, it's like a what's it called? One of those there's a kind of rule out there that if you're using your powers for cash, just like podcasters that demand money, I reckon they lose their, like Dave and people like that, they do it for free. Me, for free. Not a single cent. I will ask for a donation for the platform, though, because I appreciate it. And I had quite a number of people actually donate money to Fakeologists back in the day that were listening to me. So he got money of me. I've never donated to him at all, not a cent, which is that bad? Eh. But I did a lot of shows there. So 8 years. 8 years and 2 months. Mm. Anyway, this lady, psychic, told my mother's work colleague at the hospital that her bad back and everything was due to her having a stream, underground stream, running underneath her bed area. And they had apparently got it looked down, and yes, there was. And this is what feeds into this whole thing about a thing that was in the day. You know, the Aboriginals have it. Most people, they look at the geomancy, where the lay of the land, what the trees are doing. They can tell if there's underground streams by the way the roots, the tap roots and all that will go out to meet them. You are not to live over the top of an underground stream. And this woman just used it's real ancient knowledge to explain to this woman that that's the reason she's got a bad back. The same thing can be happening if you've got a power plug on the side of your bed or the power in your house is running. You've set your bed up with a cable that's running from left to right on your bed, and most people do. And guess what? You always hear about people say, "I've got a sore neck and a sore back." It's the placement of things. And it's also feng shui, Chinese feng shui. And there's a big there with this. I'm telling you, they're there with feng shui. They're there with geomancy. The Aboriginals and American Indian, so many people have said, you do not live there because there's they can tell by the way the trees were growing. You'd put your camp there, put your teepee over there, don't stick it there. Because they knew. It's an old science. Now, how do these people, it just passes down naturally to some people. Other people just go, that's bullshit, Nah, I've got no time for these deniers of earth science, real earth science. Not, the crap that we got at school, the stuff that the ancients and the old people knew about. Now, I've already talked all about the Tohunga that from where I town that was born on the lightning storm, and everyone, all of the local Maori knew that the child that was born that night was going to be special, and this guy was. He could heal anyone, and he's the one that came. I'll repeat myself, but a good friend of mine at work, Maori, full blooded, very light skin, but he was part of this particular tribe. He told me the story. And this guy had no other knowledge other than that this what happened to him. He was having epileptic attacks when he was only 1 or 2 years of age. His mother took him to this particular tohunga, who said, built him a box out of probably rimu or local timber, but he put copper wiring on one end of it and something or other. And this guy was describing it. This guy was not into this conspiracy stuff, whatever. He just described the little bed that his tohunga made his mother in 1962. He slept in it for 3 months, and all his electrical problems, which is what epilepsy is, it's electrical issues with your body, because the body is electric. Like, ask the Chinese. Don't ask the useless fucking Western medicine. Absolutely useless. They can do great things with surgery, chopping things out that you didn't need to be chopped. But they do amazing things. They've got their purposes. But when it comes to preventative healing, the Chinese and this tohunga, how did he know that? How did he know how to cure? Is there a way of using your instincts to do that? And I was doing that with Rollo today, and it came up into my head, ginger. He needs more ginger. His feet are swollen up. His stomach's sticking out like a pregnant woman. And I was just going, it came to me, ginger, 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 ginger. And I advised that to Mark. Well, I brought up, he is not drinking water. Why do I have to keep telling people you need to drink lots of water, good quality water, to flush yourself out? And why do so many sick people I know not drink water? How many people I know that have had kidney and liver issues, that, and I say, do you drink much water? No. And I'm like, I have always known to drink water. Even when I was little, I used to drink out of the tap, and we had a little cat that used to see, must have watched me, and she used to come and sit and drink water out of the tap and lived to a very old age. And they're there. Cats know these things. Watch what cats do when they get sick. They walk off and just randomly pick different grasses and just chew on them to make them either, you know, if they've got fur balls or whatever, make them throw up, or if they're sick, they know what to eat. You do not need a degree in fucking medicine to heal yourself. You use your, I'll keep saying this, be told show, gut instinct. You've got the knowledge in your head already, but what they've done is they've filled our water full of chlorine and the stabilizer, which actually, and coffee is another one that fucks your stomach up, and you lose your gut instinct. Your gut instinct completely is blocked by the food. And the worst one, aspartame. So all these instincts that we get to, you know, like, and have I told this before? Years ago, I had what they called, and it feeds right on, Epstein-Barr. And there's a there with his name and the guy Barr. Yes, there is. I had chronic memory loss, brain fog of the highest magnitude. I had the chronic fatigue, what they call chronic fatigue syndrome, or Epstein-Barr. Because I asked my doctor, can you test for Epstein-Barr? And he said, really? And he said, oh, and then a week later he came back and said, yeah, you've got that, whatever that signature was. It'd be some kind of, bacterial type thing that causes a brain fog, no energy. That's why I got into security. I've said this before, got into security because I had chronic fatigue. I had to lie down on building sites on cold concrete at every break that I could and just lie there because I had no energy. And all of a sudden one day when I started my first security job, I had this instinct to go and get ginger juice. And as I was the next day, because it just came into my head, because I noticed there was a juice bar across the road in 1994 or 5 that sold fresh juices. So I went over there and was getting ginger added to beetroot and lemon juice. That's what I asked for. The next day I was reading a Nexus magazine. It just happened to show a thing about chronic fatigue and that one of the best ways to fight, to get better is ginger because it stimulates interferon, interferon, F-E-R-O-N, which you get if you've got liver conditions and things like that. So whatever this thing that was going around being called Epstein-Barr or chronic fatigue was apparently, I would say it's some kind of fungal or bacterial, whatever. But ginger fixes it now. That's why I had today, when I was with Rollo, it came to me, ginger, he needs ginger. I rang him up and he said, oh, when Christy gets back, I'll start doing it. And it's like, fuck this. You need to do it now. But that came to me. No doctor or anything told me. I just went over and started drinking ginger and I got better eventually. So there's a there. Your instincts, you've got the stuff. It's going, it's flowing around the ether, all the right information you need, and it's normally coming through your gut where you find out, or, you know, so, and it goes into your head. You do not need a medical degree to get healthy. But, you know, when it comes to what the Chinese do with acupuncture and stuff, you know, you need 4 or 5 years of learning how to unblock energies and push more things towards certain organs, which they do with acupuncture. And they use little abacuses, if it's a good Chinese doctor, to work out the mathematical form to do this. Ding, 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 ding. better beer, no calories, et cetera, et cetera. Fabulous. This is the greatest be told I've ever done. You're listening to a real class information here. High class information. I just contacted Melissa Watt yesterday after she knocked it out of the park with that ant. You're listening. You're listening to Beethoven 68.
You've reached another top of hour on Truthmeets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
What a voice. What a voice. Y'all, be told. Rick, 68, be told. Done. Done and dusted. God knows how many shows on Folkologist. God knows how many shows on here with Rick and Rollo and it all added up. But I've done a lot of shows. A lot of long chats, be told. Yeah, back to the most interesting thing. This gut instinct health thing. You do not need to go and see a doctor. You need to listen to the voices in your head if they're not cluttered up with, you haven't fucked it up with, using a large amount of drugs, and you get the louder voices coming from the disembodied demons, which is schizophrenia, shouting at you, hate them, they hate you, they hate you. That's what it apparently sounds like. And they are definitely, there's a there with that. So I say, go with your gut instinct. Rollo's doing this now. The reason he's so swollen up, that is your body's reaction to stuff. But if what I think is kidneys have just stopped working, that's another bad thing. But, there's definitely lots of ways you can kind of get around that. And maybe he will somehow get through this. But I think he needs, I think my sister was saying charcoal's 100%. You cannot lose taking charcoal, activated charcoal. It saved me. I've talked about this before on an older show, but I got poisoned working unbelievably on right outside one of the biggest investigative documentary teams ever, the Four Corners. People in ABC Studios in Gore Hill when they were based there. And it felt like my entire esophagus was burning. And the company across the road was an international chemical company that had a spill. And the Four Corners staff, these are the best of the high rating investigative reporters. They actually put a memo out to say that anyone that's feeling sick needs to put their details down because there's a government, there is a law that said that they don't need, the corporate law, obviously, they don't need to tell you what they spilt. And I remember being, just feeling really, really sick for ages. And I had this instinct that this is kind of just before, would it be leading up to when I got that chronic fatigue thing? So there you go, there. Some kind of chemical poisoning that was released by some kind of spill in their yard. Anyway, I was back in New Zealand by coincidence, and my best friend, the astronomer / rocketeer, his mother was Romany Gypsy. And she said to me straight away, she said, you need charcoal. And she had some. And she gave me some. The next day, I was completely better. The charcoal soaked up the poisons. Now, charcoal is an incredible thing to have in your medicine cabinet. If you've got children, particularly, or just for you, because it soaks up poisonous gases and toxins. The guy that came up with it was some English doctor years ago, and he went in front of the board of, board of British Medical Society and swallowed cyanide, and then he ate charcoal, then took a lethal dose of cyanide to prove it, the benefits of charcoal. I remember reading this fucking 1980 something or other. Was it 80s or early 90s? And so this is after I'd started getting into it. So charcoal is your friend, but it's got to be activated. And you should just be having it all the time. And it goes through and it soaks up toxins. Now, actually, my sister's 100% correct. That's what Rollo needs, charcoal. But I'm not going to be able to get there. Can we order it from a chemist and get it delivered? That could be a thing. Because he'll take that for sure. He's not going to go to a doctor, though. Is he right? I think he could be. Because they're just going to go chop this out, chop that out. They're not going to say what the original problem is and try and work on that original problem. But I do believe 3 bottles of vodka a day for 8 to 10 or whatever years, or up to, so say, give them 2 bottles a day, but up to 3 would have done untold damage to his kidneys and liver, plus other things. So hopefully that'll fix it. I'm going to mute and I'll be back shortly. Not that you possibly will know. Thank you very much. Be told. And he's back. Slurping, drinking, clinking, smoking, blah, 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 whatever. All right, now I got home from the Witties, Sydney, and visiting Rollo. And what did I lie around doing? No, got up and mowed the lawns, even though they didn't really need mowing because it's winter here. But no, there was uneven bits. And I'm telling you, I could see them. I could see those uneven little bits of grass that do grow. Winter grass, it's called, I think. And I got rid of that, pruned some trees, which is what I call, when I call pruning is what most people call Halloween, what's his name, the slasher movie. I just go and attack branches and things like that with a machete almost and, you know, make it look better to me. But to an arborist, they go, what the fuck have you done to that tree? But that's, you know, whatever. It sorts my OCD out, guaranteed. You said the soccer's on, which is, you know, as Martha predicted, possibly is going to take every single psyop away for whatever it goes, as long as it's going for 2 or 3 weeks. Interesting last night too, perception, another thing I like to talk about. If someone talks to me or I see something and I just judge them as, you know, so this is a particular person in this office, I've been talking to for probably a year. I thought he was from Manchester or Liverpool, just by his accent. And last night I was saying to him, oh, so you bet you're happy about watching the game. And he goes, eh, you're not really. And I said, well, you're not very patriotic, Englishman. He goes, he said, I'm Irish, I'm from Dublin. And I went, and then all of a sudden when he talked to me, his voice became a full Irish accent. But because I'd assumed he was from Manchester or Liverpool, which are there's a lot of Irish went there back in the day. To me, he had a kind of semi-Manchester-y kind of Liverpool, kind of one of the area accent. No, he was from a very strong Irish accent, but my perception was based on what I thought. And that's, again, part of this whole subconscious blah, 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 what you're told to think, etc. You'll see and hear. I heard him as being English, and as soon as he told me he's from Dublin, his voice completely went, and I was going, actually, now you fucking are Irish. And I said, no wonder you hate the British. And I was right. But a really nice guy, but I heard him as I thought he was. There's a there with this. And I'm not sure where that there is, but there is a there. There you go. Interesting side note. So I suggested, last week, Jollo came back with the goods last, what date was it? On last Saturday, released four episodes I'd done on, or Be Told, including 2 with Jan Erik, who I describe as the Alan Watt of Norway. And even though we talk over each other, because he can talk, and I can talk. There's some good stuff on there. And I got a few good ones in, you know, he wasn't aware that Stanley Kubrick worked for Life magazine, was one of their star photographers in the 50s and 60s. Earth 50s, rather. And that's where he got his training. Which, so I got one on him, but he knows, he knows way more than me. But anyway, I contacted Melissa, who's been, again, knocking it out of the park, particularly that one on Andrew Wakefield. Now, that is disturbing that I was conned as well, that thinking Andrew Wakefield was your hero when he was just as bad as all the others. Just as bad as all the others. That's on Real History with Melissa. It's a Geordie female. We talked about it last Sunday with Martha. Well worth listening to, and I like that. But anyway, I've said to Melissa, you need this guy on because he can talk about, because she's, you know, kind of worked out this thing too that, you know, they're not really, really naming the real names. And people need to understand the power of this black nobility and, you know, the maritime traders and the whole thing that Jan's an expert at. So, Jan Eriks, hopefully he'll end up doing a show on Real History if I contact him and say, or send her his details. He says, pouring beer. And Rollo bought me a four, or he said, this price of whatever you want. And I thought, I can't be rip him off. So I went and got a four cans of German beer from Aldi. And it tastes just beautiful, beautiful, $14. That was my price for taxing and running around. I had to go and do all the shopping for him. He wrote all his notes out, a list rather. And my God, he is fastidious. You know, like if you get the wrong thing, oh dear. He is fussy as anything. And, you know, rightly so, as you should be. I mean, last time I was in Aldi in Cardiff, in Newcastle, me and him were in there shopping together, which was very funny. Me and Rollo going out shopping is always, you could make a movie on it. You could actually do a YouTube of Rick and Rollo shopping and people would actually enjoy it because it was very funny. We bounce off each other and although at the moment he's so sick he can't even get out of the car, but I managed to get him in my van and balanced him in an upright position and sellotaped him to the chair so he didn't fall out. Joke, but it was getting there. But me and him going out in public is very funny. And one of the great ones is the time of when he dressed as a Joker. And we went to that thing. We've talked about that going to the protest march. But the funniest thing was when afterwards he decided he wanted to go back to his old stomping grounds in Burwood, where he worked in the pizza shop, and just walk around Burwood. Again, he is fully dressed as the Joker with green hair, full makeup on, and I'm the guy that looks like an idiot because I'm the one roaming around with him looking normal. People don't look at the idiot, the strange person. They always go, "Why is he hanging around with him for?" And we roamed around Burwood for about an hour or two. I don't know. Yeah, we were there for a long time, but it was very funny. Again, we should have filmed that. We had someone filming us. Very humorous. Rollo out in public. And I've talked about this before. He has this, I don't know what it is, an aura about him that people are attracted to him and just go up and start, you know, talking to him. And girls were, you know, were crossing roads and I had a couple of very good looking girls go walk up and kind of looked, they said to me, "He's so cool." And, you know, there's Rollo just walking around drinking out a bottle of champagne on the streets of Sydney during COVID, as you do, until the police come and told us he wasn't allowed to drink in public, he has to cover it up. Which they did. And Rollo just said, "Are you comfortable in that mask?" And the guy was like, he wanted to say, "No, I'm not," because his face was all sweaty and he had this blue medical mask on a hot day in Sydney, dressed up in his uniform, sweating, and his face was bright red. And Rollo just said, "You look really uncomfortable." And he was kind of going, "Oh, no, I'm fine." But no, he, very funny, great day. That should have been filmed. It was actually, we talked about it on, although we got told that we weren't there and there were replicas of us doing it on Fakeologist. immediately, you know, as soon as you come on there saying something's real, oh dear, oh dear. I'm not, you don't hear me very much over there unless I'm talking to myself, and I will do that. I will do that. I'll talk to Frank or Ab, but only the time I'll talk to him is if it's early in the morning and he's been awake. There's no point in me being happy and drinking and him being getting up to go to work at 4:30 in the morning. It's fucking terrible. It works for a bit, and then you cannot have that balance. You need to be with people that are all in the same frame of mind as you, which is why Rick and Rollo shows were fantastic, because we're both drinking. It's Saturday night. We're happy. It's the end of the week. In Rollo's case, every day is the end of the week. In my case, yeah, Saturday night's fantastic. So anyway, how long are we going to keep going here? Because I try to keep about an hour. I'll possibly be doing something tomorrow. I'm not sure. But I'm definitely going to New Zealand. That's going to be very interesting going back to check out the difference and where I came from. 13 years since I've been there. And apparently I'll be disappointed. And the traffic apparently is a nightmare. There's a lot of homeless, unbelievable. But anyway, I'm going to mute. And look, if someone comes on, if anyone's welcome to come on, if they're not going to rubbish anything that I talk about, then you're not welcome to come on. But I should organise to do something on Saturday nights. And then what I've said, now this is a very important, anyone that's listening, and especially the Truth Meets people, and there's a few talkers on there that don't talk enough, they need to start doing stuff. And I am quite happy to do nothing on a Saturday night and let you just, you know, be an audio chat on here, particularly the chicks, any of them, even Linda. I mean, when she's talking to other females, it might work. It doesn't work talking to me. No. But, the girls need to start doing something and just call and make it a chicks only show and have someone with muting abilities to fuck off any blokes that come on there. Unless Hilda von Klackenschwab, the 33rd, comes on. She's a woman, apparently. But they've got to start doing that, and people will listen because the females just have a much more easygoing voice, and you know, you don't hear, even though they may not agree with each other, they do some good stuff, very good stuff. I'll mute and I'll look at my notes that I've taken over the last 2 months, and then I'll possibly come back on and talk. If there's someone out there wants to come in, do so.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com, click on the support link.
Be told 68. In June, what did I say it was? Whatever I said it was. June the 39th. No, it's June the 13th. Interesting, 13. That's 6 and 13. What's that? Number 19. There, big there, be told. And I was, now listen, also looked into Tuesday World as a fascinating subject. You know, she was apparently a very high level witch, very powerful, still alive, and I think, and still, she was quite good looking right up till last time I seen a photo of her. Visigoth did a show, this the guy that comes on and did a thing on Tuesday World. She was very, like a real Samantha type from Bewitched. Interesting, you know, Tuesday Weld and the name Weld, it went back in the day, and a very interesting subject, Tuesday Weld and Ruby Tuesday, there. That's Rolling Stones did a song about her, and they hung out with witches like you would not believe, and I do regret, I lent that book, She's a Rainbow, about Anita Pallenberg, who was 100% a witch. That was Keith from the Rolling Stones, Keith Richard. Richards, he had an S, so he wasn't confused with Cliff Richard. No surprise there. But that book, She's a Rainbow, is fantastic. And I lent it to somebody, a member of my family. Oh, I regret that because I've never seen it since. Never seen it since. You never lend books. Never lend books. It is a cardinal rule. If you're into books, do not give them to anybody. Just say, unless it's a really close friend that you trust, 1,000,000%, 1,000,000,000%, actually. But speaking of trillions, and trillion, it was on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, one of those names. Zaphod Beeblebrox's girlfriend, Trillion. I'm good at that. Rollo would be able to back me up with that one. Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk, he is a made-up character that is an actor that's playing a role, as what's his name says, you know, lifetime actors. There's a there with lifetime actors, guaranteed. And he is playing the front man for SpaceX. Also, sidelining here, again, I was driving along last night and fucking, as I was thinking about something, all of a sudden the bus went past with White Fox logo on the back. And these two, is it the same girl doubled or is she a twin? You can't tell whether she's part Asian. She is definitely part Asian or South American or whatever. But this White Fox model is this, there's something about her that you just, as soon as you see her, just go sex, you just think, boom. You lose your train of thought, and that is deliberately being done on the back of buses, etc., all over the place. The White Fox, which is White 666, if you're into numerology or Kabbalah, guaranteed. But Elon Musk, he's become a trillionaire, allegedly the first trillionaire. Now, I remember reading back in the day that the Rothschild, one of the Rothschilds, was worth $5 trillion years ago. But now, no. It's Elon Musk is the first trillionaire. The guy is representing SpaceX, White Fox, blinds you, sells you stuff. And SpaceX, rockets, etc. They went on the market, sold their shares, and raised over $2 trillion, according to what I heard on the media today. Not 1 trillion, 2 trillion, was it? Some just ridiculous number. They're just making this stuff up. And 100%, you know, he's becoming a bigger and bigger person. The thing is, he the Antichrist, you know, or an Antichrist? Is he? I would say possibly is. Because he doesn't sound that smart to me. He's just like the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. Facebook was a military creation that came out of DARPA. DARPA, D-A-R-P-A. They'd already had another name for it before they called it Facebook. And it wasn't MySpace, it was something else. But it's just ridiculous that, you know, they've got these so obvious frontmen for massive technocracy. And that's what an Elon Musk's grandfather was kicked out of Canada in 1933. He was a technocracy advocate. You know, they all dressed in grey uniforms. Was it white or grey? Whatever. Had huge meetings in America. He was kicked out of Canada. And there's his grandson. Elon Musk becoming the new first trillionaire. Now, there's with this number bullshit, you can just put zeros at the end of anything, and at the end of the day, there's zero there. But money is power, for sure. Money is power. And the fact that they call him the first, like, something's going to be big about this thing. And he is definitely flying big, giant rockets up into, you know, into the ether. No, sorry, into the clouds, where they go off and probably crash into that area that they part of the area where the NASA rockets all crashed into. That you're not allowed to just go through. There's no ships allowed to go through that particular area. It's not the Bermuda Triangle. That again, that was a huge, huge subject for the conspiracy UFO types, myself in the 70s. We all knew about the Bermuda Triangle. And Spielberg, of course, added into the very start of Close Encounters that team of American fighters that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. And all of a sudden they arrive in Egypt somewhere, and that's how the Close Encounters movie starts. And then Spielberg is right now, as Elon Musk becomes a trillionaire, just released a disclosure movie about disclosing the aliens, and it's, you know, it's about Christianity being upset because it's, you know, the aliens are going to ruin the Christianity. Things like, can you get any more obvious to, but not, maybe not to the, you know, semi-awakes or the pseudo-smarts out there, but to the expert types like myself. This is just so obvious that right now, exactly when he needed to, a movie that would have taken at least 2 or 3 years to get off the ground and be filmed, it comes out just as Donald Trump goes on about disclosure and Steven Spielberg releases a movie called Disclosure. Really? I mean, can you not see this? Can you not see this? How obvious this whole stuff is. And again, I've been listening to Ryan Gable's show. He is not, you know, he's very anti-Christian. I mean, he's, you know, and he's got the kind of goods where he kind of says, oh, no, this is just old symbology and archetypes, blah, blah, blah. And they all say that. He's a bit, but, you know, I enjoy his show. I do enjoy the Secret Teachings show, even though I don't think he's really knows all the stuff, be told. Anyway, I will probably go soon. I'm just going to go and watch TV. I'll do something normal on a Saturday night. I'll probably ring some friends up. I need my Saturdays back again. And, but I'll be possibly back tomorrow night because I will definitely not be here for from the 20th to the 26th. I guaranteed. I'll definitely be back on the 27th though, at a guess. At a guess. So we're going to leave it. And what are we going to play? It'll just come on. I did love that one of the songs I played was that song about chemtrails by Gnarls Barkley. That's an awesome song. A few shows ago. CeeLo Green, what a voice he's got. Little funny little person he is, but what a voice. Oh, I love that song. We'll play something of that kind of nature and I'll send it off to Joel on tonight, and whenever it gets released, no hurry, it gets released. Thank you so much, and I'll be back. Only 5:30 at night at my time, so no one's going to interrupt. Fantastic. And we'll go with a song. I listened to Mars Needs Women, kind of hip-hop electric stuff that I thought was fantastic, but I don't know if I could find it as a song. So it might not be that one, but it's a great song. Or could it be just a basic song that I've listened to recently? Anyway, I'll think of it and send it off to Joel. You always hear a good song in my mind, on the end of a B-Told show. So thank you very much, and I'm off for the night, guaranteed. Thank you very much. A one, a two, a three, a mysterious song starting at one, right for it. And now, bye-bye.
Full of chains that no one sees. Clock rates are full of history. see you.